I'm Ed Rose, and this is Citizen Kane. Each week on this broadcast, heard only on 101.7 WXZY FM, I uncover little-known facts and forgotten memories from the hilltop. This week's program remembers Evergreen Park Pond. The Park Pond was the equivalent of a town square or plaza. It was where generations of kids and adults would meet up. Especially in winter when ice skating was the event of the season, the Park Pond was the most popular place in town. In some ways, the Park Pond was the heart of the community. Revered for its scenic beauty, it was the shining centerpiece of Evergreen Park. In the early 1900s, benches were placed around the pond for quiet meditation as fountains sprayed water high into the summer sky. In the spring and fall, the still waters were a colorful reflecting pool for the mountain flora and foliage. Located across the street from Kane High, the Park Pond was home to school hockey matches, and ice skating was part of the winter gym class regimen. Although the activity was an excellent and popular form of exercise for young and old, the pages of the Kane Republican are full of ensuing injury reports of both bruised pride and broken bones. To boot, there were regular reports of harrowing escapes from the pond's frozen waters. In 1930, 11-year-old schoolboy John Campbell dove into the icy pond to save his friend Lois Aljo from certain disaster. For decades, concerns arose over the pond's upkeep and safety. In 1929, a concrete retaining wall was installed on the Chestnut Street side, which remains today to buttress the pond and reduce flooding over the sidewall. In the early 1930s, Borough Council considered pouring concrete and sealing the bottom of the pond, and even bringing in sand from Lake Erie to make a community swimming pool and beach. Instead, a Southover Park site was chosen, and an ill-fated swimming pool was built and abandoned there when its waters were quickly deemed unsanitary. For many years, concerned citizens warned that the park pond waters were unsuitable for swimming, and the activity was officially banned. The pond was the site of miniature yacht racing and a popular and competitive annual regatta. Young George Lingle dominated those early model sailing competitions for the coveted Moffett Cup in the early 1930s. In 1944, the pond was drained as a necessary precaution to avoid the spread of infantile paralysis or polio. Council took the opportunity to clean up the site and clear it of weeds and debris. And in the 1950s, the Kane Fish and Game Club began stocking the pond with bluegills and crappie. In 1952, the club sponsored a fly and plug casting exhibition at the pond, given by national fishing expert Lloyd Riss of Ashaway Lines. According to a 1959 report in the Kane Republican, Ricky Mayberry of the JoJo Road won the first official fishing derby and $5 for landing the biggest catch. Over the years, other enthusiasts, or pranksters perhaps, transplanted catfish, goldfish, and other bottom feeders, and the pond became overcrowded. Another newspaper report from the time said that Linda Fay of Birch Street pulled a whopping 2-foot carp from the pond. In 1961, a local man named Thomas Wallace, a machine operator at Holgate Brothers, was found drowned in the pond. Borough employee Francis Agins found Wallace's body floating in the pond waters on August 1st, having apparently drowned overnight. For kids who grew up in the 1960s, the Park Pond was the magical home to giant bullfrogs, lily pads, salamanders, pollywogs, and all manners of water creatures. In the winter, there was hot chocolate in the wooden shelter and games of prisoner's base on the ice rink. The park pond was a center of energy and activity. For all its magic, concerns for safety and public health, the cost of proper upkeep and maintenance continued to grow. By 1971, the park pond was gone forever. It was drained, filled in, and paved over. Fenced in with curbs around the blacktop, the site was turned into tennis and basketball courts and dubbed the Centennial Recreation Facility. The Rubicon was finally crossed for the park. There would be no going back. The memories of Evergreen Park Pond exist only in the mind's eye. They are very fond days of yore. Well, that's all for this week, friends. Please keep those story ideas coming and send your comments and suggestions to citizenkanepa@gmail.com. And thank you for listening.